The following is a special announcement for listeners of the Where is God's Word program with Bruce Musselman. On the morning of May 15th, Brother Bruce Musselman went home to be with the Lord following a short illness. His last new radio program aired just 8 days before his passing. Please join me in praying for the Musselman family and Bruce's friends and colleagues. For now and the next couple of months, we will be airing classic Bruce Musselman programs from our archives. We trust you will be edified and encouraged by these vintage programs. Now, let's join this week's edition of Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman. Welcome to Where is God's Word with your host, Bruce Musselman, brought to you by the Mantoway Country Baptist Church of Aurora, Ohio. Bruce combines over 40 years of experience as a pastor, Bible teacher, and author. This program addresses topics surrounding the authority and inerrancy of the Bible. Here now with this week's edition of Where is God's Word is Bruce Musselman.
I'm so glad you tuned in today, and it's another day the Lord has given us. It's rainy outside, but the Lord sends His sunshine and rain so that it'll draw us nearer to Himself. And so we thank Him for this day anyway. And the Bible says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." And most of all, we can give thanks because we know that we're saved. We know that we have eternal life. And when we go to die, we don't have to die in fear and terror of what is coming, because we know that if we're saved, if we're a child of God, if we're born again, if we have accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior, that absent from the body, present with the Lord, and we will instantly go to heaven, where we have His blessing and we'll have eternal joy forever and ever. But today I want to talk about the subject of eternal life in Jesus Christ. And the Bible says in the book of Hebrews, Jesus Christ became the author of eternal salvation. And I thank God that our salvation is eternal. If you really have salvation, then it will last forever. And Jesus said, "He that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out." And so I want to read some verses dealing with this subject, and we'll start in John chapter 10 and verse 27 through 29 of the chapter. It says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." So the Lord says here, "My sheep." You see, if you're saved, you're one of God's sheep, and you belong to Him. And it says here, "My sheep hear my voice." You see, the sheep knew the master's voice. They didn't know a stranger's voice, but they knew the master's voice. And that is a characteristic of God's sheep. You know, down through the ages, people put out counterfeits, but the people that love the Lord, down through the ages, the Holy Spirit bore witness to the true Bible and the true text. That's why the great majority of people that read the Bible every single day read the authorized King James Bible. Now, it says, "My sheep." And so these sheep belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. And the sheep don't go from being a sheep to a wolf to a wolf to a sheep. No. Once they are born a sheep, they stay a sheep. And so the Bible teaches that you're born again. And you don't become born and then unborn and born again and unborn and so on. No, if you're born once, you die twice. If you die twice, you're born twice, you die once. And so if you're born, you're born into, as a sheep, and you will always remain God's sheep. Now let's see what it says here. It says, "And my sheep hear my voice." And that is a characteristic of God's sheep. They're not listening to the voice of the news media. They're listening to the voice of God. And where is Jesus' voice? Jesus said, "The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." And these words are found in the Holy Bible. And the Bible says here, "And I know them." Jesus Christ knows His sheep. And He knows your name. You may have a number with a lot of people, but with Jesus, He knows your name personally, and He personally cares for you, and He personally takes care of you. And I want to say as a testimony, Jesus personally takes care of me. And I've seen recently when I've been backed into a corner and there wasn't anything I could do, but the Lord intervened and took care of me. And he knows your name no matter who you are. When you receive him as Lord and Savior, he knows your name, he knows you, he loves you, and he personally takes care of you. And he's God of the universe and has all power, and he runs the stars, but he knows all about you. He knows when you sit down according to Jesus. He knows when you get up. He knows the number of hairs on your head, and he will take care of you. And I give unto them eternal life. That is, you have eternal life. If the Lord said you had life for 5 days, would you believe it? If he said you had life for 10 years, would you believe it? He said you get it, you have life, eternal life, when you receive him by faith as Lord and Savior. That is life that lasts forever, has no beginning and no end, but it is given to you and it is eternal. It will last you forever. And they shall never perish. Now, God is repeating this and the fact that you have eternal life. And he says, they shall never perish. That is, they shall never stand in the judgment of God against sin. When a person is saved, Jesus has paid for all their sin. And Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and I give unto them eternal life. And so they shall never perish. If you're saved, if you're born again, if you're God's child, you're his child forever, and you belong to his family. And just as when you're born one time, you have the blood of your father in your body, and you are biologically their father and mother. You have your father and mother in you. You're a part of them. And so when we're born again, we're spiritually a part of God through his Holy Spirit that comes in us. And that never changes. And the Lord says we shall never perish. God is going to take us to heaven when we die. And he said, all that the Father gave me, I said, I've lost none of them. Millions of people have been born again and saved, and God has never lost any of them. Now it says, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Well, some people say you can pluck yourself out, but if you're a man, and referring to all people, men and women, then you're not going to be plucked out of the hand of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad I'm not simply holding his hand, but he is holding my hand, and he won't let go. And we're like little children. A little child can lose their grip and stumble, but the father or the mother will hold that child's hand. And so our Father is a loving God. Our Savior, the Lord Jesus, is a loving God. And when we repent and put our faith in him, then he keeps us, and we will never perish. We're as sure of heaven as if we've been there a million years. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. And so Jesus is holding us in his hand, and the Father is holding us in his hand. And so we are secure in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then in John chapter 6, in verse 37 through 40, is another passage I want to read. John chapter 6, verse 37 through 40, and you might like to copy these down. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. And that is a promise that the Lord gives us. And the devil came to Jesus and said, if thou art the Son of God. And Jesus was the Son of God, but the devil was trying to make him doubt that. And that's an amazing thing. If the devil attempts to make you doubt it, if something is coming to you, trying to make you doubt your salvation, if you're really saved, it could be the devil coming to you and speaking to you and say, oh, you're not really saved. But it says here in John 6, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. That's a promise of the Lord Jesus. I'll never kick you out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will. And this is what God has planned for us, which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And so God's plan for you, if you've been saved, that is, You have come to the Lord Jesus Christ. God says his plan for you is that he never loses you. He holds you in his hand. He will keep you. And he has lost nothing. Millions of people have repented of their sins and come to Jesus, and he has lost none of them. And then we see in 1 Corinthians another passage of scripture that we need to look at, and it's found in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 7, 8, and 9. So it says, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, so that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it says, who shall also confirm you unto the end? And the end is the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what the end is. That's what it's talking about. And he will confirm the Christian till the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Who will do it? Not we ourselves, but Jesus himself. That ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, how are we blameless? Because when we repent and put our faith in Jesus, God counts the righteousness of Christ to us. And Jesus lived a perfect life as the Son of God. And he counts our sin to Jesus. Now, how will this be done? Well, because verse 9, God is faithful. Oh, I'm not always faithful, and you will not always be faithful to him. But it says, God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And so God is faithful. He is faithful in keeping us and preserving us. And then we'll look at Romans chapter 8 and verse 37 and 39. Romans chapter 8, verse 37 and 39. Now it says, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. And all over the world, Christians are being murdered just because they're Christians, not because they're lying, cheating, stealing, rebelling against the government, killing. No, because we believe in Jesus, and we have trusted him as our Lord and Savior. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. And the early Christians used to talk about when someone got martyred, they talked about it as the day of their victory, because nothing could stop them from testifying of Jesus. And it's just like Yusuf over in Iran, and they condemned him to death, but he's not going to back down because he has the power of the Holy Spirit. He's God's child. And if they kill him, it's the day of his victory, because he goes to be with Jesus, and he has been a witness of Jesus Christ. And it says, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Now, some people say, well, it's talking in the next verses about our love for the Lord. No, it's talking about him that loved us. That is, the Lord Jesus Christ loved us, the saved people. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor presence, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And it's talking about him that loved us. Nothing will separate us from his love. And once we have put our trust in Christ, the Father loves us, the Lord Jesus loves us, the Holy Spirit loves us, and he will keep us. And he will be with us, and he will bring us back to himself. And what a wonderful thought that is, that the God of this universe, that controls the universe, that knows everything that's going on, that has all power in the universe, he will keep us by his love. And you may say, well, I don't have many friends, or I don't hardly have any friends. But you have one friend in Jesus. I heard somebody gave a testimony, and they cried and say, I don't have any friends in the world but Jesus. Well, I'd rather have him as a friend than no other friends, because if you have him, you have everything. And you belong to the family of God, and one day you'll have all of heaven as your friend, and you'll have the God of this universe who will be with you and take care of you and love you. And I'm telling you, I've experienced the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I want to give thanks to him. I tell you, I was saved in 1944 when I received Jesus as Lord and Savior, and I remember the day and the place in a It was in a chapel that was above a fire station two blocks from the public square in Cleveland. And today it's been torn down. But I remember how I went forward and asked Jesus to forgive my sins and save me. And he has loved me and taken care of me ever since that time. What a wonderful Savior we have. I want to read that verse again. I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We're going to take a short break now, and then we'll be back.
You're listening to Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman. If you have a question or comment about today's program, please contact us. Our email address is sos1611@gmail.com. That's sos1611@gmail.com. And now let's return to more of Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman.
We simply want you to know that if you would like to have a paper that shows 100 places where the names of Jesus have been eliminated from the modern versions of the Bible. And they come from a corrupt text of a handful of manuscripts that disagree with each other in about 3,000 places in the Gospels. And individuals called Westcott and Hort put this corrupt text together, and they call it the New Testament in the original Greek. Well, it was original with them because this text never existed before them. It was just based on a handful of corrupt manuscripts. The 99%, over 99%, back up the authorized King James Bible. And there's a difference between these texts of the Bible. There's not just one Greek text like you hear all the time, the Greek text. You have the true text, the received text, from the missionary church in Antioch, which went out to the world, and it is the basis of the text behind the King James Bible. And if you would like a paper, you can call in the engineer, and he will take your address down, and we will send you this paper. We sent many, many of them out, and we give it absolutely free. We don't even pay the postage on it. I pay it out of my own pocket, and we send this so the people can see that there is a difference. And that's just the names of Jesus. And so it's not the true text. The true text has been used and taught in the Bible-believing churches for the last 2,000 years, and it's in many different languages, but finally in the authorized King James Bible. Now, we're talking about the fact that we have eternal salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. So I want to read from Galatians chapter 5, verse 19 through 22. Galatians chapter 5, verse 19 through 22. It says here, "Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." Now, people say today, well, what about these people? They say they're Christians, and yet they're practicing these wicked things and doing them. Well, if this is their lifestyle, and this continues on, then the Bible says they shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And how does this fit in with eternal salvation or eternal life? Well, it's simply this, that when a person repents, when they get saved, they repent of their sin. They see themselves as in rebellion against God and sinning against the God of heaven, and they repent. It's a change of heart, a change of mind. Paul says, "I preach repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ." And then it's faith in Jesus as Lord. That's the boss and Savior. And people that say that they're Christians and continue on in this wickedness like this, and this is their lifestyle, they better check out and find out if they're really saved. Because if they're saved, this is not their lifestyle. And some people say, well, that's an excuse to sin. If I believe like that, I'd do what I wanted to do. No, it's not. Because, first of all, the Bible says if a person is saved and they do something like this, The Holy Spirit convicts them. You're a new child in Christ. You no longer want to do these things. You are fighting against the flesh. Now, your flesh, your old nature, wants to do these things. And you need to understand that as a Christian. But the Holy Spirit is in you, and the Holy Spirit can override the fleshly desires. And through asking the Lord's help and through reading the Bible and realizing that Jesus paid for your sins, and he died for your sins, and he rose from the dead, and the Bible says that you are no longer under the power of the flesh. And you can call on Jesus for his help because it says the flesh shall no longer have dominion. So the thing is, if you practice this lifestyle, then you need to repent of your sin and say, God, I have sinned against you, and I am sorry for it. And the Bible says, if you have been saved, the Bible says, and you've repented, you are to do works meet for repentance. John the Baptist said that. Paul said that. Jesus said, repent and believe the gospel. If you've repented, you have a change of life. And I know the Christians all around me, they have lived a holy life for many, many years after they got saved. And I tell you, because of Jesus Christ, no matter what your problem is, God can give you the victory over that. Now, I want to read one more verse from 1 John and chapter 2, in 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 through 19, and what the Bible says. Now, somebody says, well, I know somebody that said they were saved, and now they're living like the devil. Well, let's look at what the scripture says. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 19, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So you can continue in sin for just a short time, but then you're going to die and spend eternity in heaven or hell. Little children, it is the last time, and as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. And we have a lot of them in the news media. They went out from us, but they were not of us. They went out from the Christians, from the Christian church, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. And that is the Holy Spirit speaking through the Apostle John. They made a profession, but they hadn't genuinely repented and been born again by the Spirit of God. And so they went out from us to show that they were not of us. For if they had been one of us, if they had been saved, they no doubt would have continued with us. We're saved when we are born again. We're born with the new nature that is victorious over the world, the flesh, and the devil. And God said that they would continue if they're born again, if they're genuinely saved. And so if you're living a lifestyle that is against the Lord, you need to repent and accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Thank God for eternal life. Heaven is your home if you're born again and saved. And I hope that God will bless you real good, and we know that it'll stay with you when you receive Christ.
Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman? If you enjoyed today's program and would like to receive a free brochure that lists 100 references where the name of Jesus has been omitted from modern versions, we invite you to drop us an email at sos1611@gmail.com. That's sos1611@gmail.com. Where is God's Word is sponsored by the Mantoway Country Baptist Church, located at 12385 Chamberlain Road near Aurora, Ohio. Pastor Murray Bay and the congregation cordially invite you to worship with them. Sunday morning services are held at 10 and 11 a.m. For directions or more information, please call 330-562-6600. That's 330-562-6600. Or write to the Mantoway Country Baptist Church, 12385 Chamberlain Road, Aurora, Ohio, 44202. Tune in again next week at this same time for another edition of Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman.